It is good to be here. I am very, very excited to be preaching the first sermon here. God is good, amen? Amen. I know we said that last week with Kid Camp Sunday, but I'm so thankful for God's goodness. I'm so thankful for how it's been for our family here already. So just to begin this morning, I just want to say thank you again to everyone here for welcoming us. It has been absolutely wonderful. I think everyone we've talked to, even before we came here, we're messaging us on Facebook, would say welcome to the SAC family. And that's truly, we already feel a part of the family. So thank you so much. It's been a delight to serve alongside those who are serving at Kid Camp. And we're just so thankful that the Lord has brought us here. It's really cool because the song that was really impactful in our time of seeking the Lord, of transition, was I Will Follow by Chris Tomlin. So that was pretty cool to sing that this morning. I shared that when we announced at our church in Karenport and we were leaving. This is why we're going, because the Lord has called us to go, and that has just been affirmed as we have arrived here already. I just want to pray, just as we begin this morning. I want this is going to be the Lord's words, not my own, so why don't we just pray here as we approach the word this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us, Father. Lord, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the life that you have given us, Lord, because you came down into our darkness, Lord. You forgave our sins. You love us so much. We just want to just stop and remember that today, Father, as we begin, Lord, that your love is beyond anything we can even comprehend or say in words or song. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for the freedom we have to meet here this morning. Lord, this places all over the world where they wouldn't dare meet, or they meet under fear of being taken out and tortured or jailed, and we're able to be here freely, worshiping you, looking at your word. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for this church body. Thank you for the welcoming that we've received as a family here, and for how you have directed everything and continue to. And Lord, now as we approach your word, may the words that I speak be your words, Father. May those words impact all our hearts and lives, our minds here this morning. We pray against any distraction, Lord, that may come, that anything that's on our mind from the week, worry and stress, whatever it is, we push all that away in the name of Jesus right now as we come to your holy word. Speak this morning, Father. Thank you for your presence here with us and for your hand on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to be sharing my one word this morning as the process was beginning, and Pastor Brent and I had many, many phone conversations before we came. We've been planning to preach on this day for a while and wanted me to preach on my one word. And we were actually here in May. Some of you, we met at that time. We came to see the town. We came to meet everyone. So we were here May long weekend. And when we were actually here, it was a one-word Sunday where the interviews were taking place. And I think Rita was being interviewed, and Norm, and some others there. Steve as well, I think, was. And let me tell you, that was really cool to be able to be here and to be able to experience church and hear you guys as a family sharing your one word. And so I'm excited to share my one word this morning. And if you already want to turn with me, in the Bibles there, it's the blue Bibles, it's page 1044, I believe. But we're in the book of James, as already has been mentioned this morning. Book of James, chapter 1. And as I share my one word this morning, I want to share a bit of testimony as well, because we're all getting to know each other here as family. So some of you already know here, some of you may not, but I am a rapper, so I've rapped since about grade 8. So about 20 years now or so, I've been rapping and been in that world of rap and using it as ministry. And as we approach this passage here, which we're going to read here in a moment, and why it's my one word, is there was a time in my life where, with rapping, that I was not rapping for the Lord. There was a time in my life where it was about grade 9, and we pray for the high school students, and Josh already said, Pastor Josh said already, that sometimes it's so easy to blend into our schools. where we become more like the world and more like the world around us in our schools. And that's the way it was for me. See, I grew up in a Christian home. I was adopted at just 4 months, and my background is indigenous, and that's kind of part of my story I might share throughout different sermons and meetings with people here. But I was adopted into a strong Christian family where my dad was a pastor. And so I grew up doing all the Christian things. And I know this is many of your testimony here as well. I went to youth group faithfully. I went to camp. I loved camp ministry. I went to VBS, Vacation Bible School. I went to Sunday school. Sometimes I was at church 2-3 times a week. And that's how I grew up. And I'm so, so thankful for that. I accepted the Lord into my life when I was at an early age, like probably I think I was about grade 2 in Sunday school. I remember praying the prayer of salvation, telling my parents on the way home. We lived in Oklahoma at the time, and I'll share stories about that crazy place on another day. But we were driving home, and I remember sharing with my parents, I accepted Jesus into my heart. And last week we heard about just how amazing the gospel is, and I was saved. And I went on with my Christian life, just living, doing the Christian things. And then high school came along. And as I got involved in the rap world, I began to emulate. I began to imitate certain rappers, thinking that that's what I got to be cool. Because it was the cool thing to be a rapper. I was the only one in my high school who rapped. And so I wanted to be Eminem. Some of you may not know who Eminem is here. Eminem is a famous rapper. He is amazingly, amazingly talented. And I wish he used his talents for the Lord. Unfortunately, he doesn't. But he can rap. He can write. And so I wanted to be like Eminem. So here's how my life went. During the week at school, Monday to Friday, I became known as a rapper. I would write raps about pretending that I was a gangster and a thug and I was selling drugs and all these things because this is what I was filling my mind with. This is who I was trying to imitate and emulate was Eminem and others. And so I would got known for writing these raps and people would gather around me and I would share them. Monday to Friday, my language was not good. My content was not good in my lyrics. And then Friday night, I'd go to youth group. And I would worship. And I would talk about Jesus. And I would talk what I call Christianese. You know what I'm talking about? The Christian language, those Christian words. And I lived it out really, really well. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday at church, and back to school on Monday. And I'd begin to live that way for a while, until at camp, a camp outside Regina where mostly of my life I've lived, Dallas Valley Ranch camp, God got a hold of my life. And then the camp speaker was talking about identity. And he asked at the end of the chapel, he said, "Who are you?" And I sat there and I didn't have an answer. Am I this guy? Am I this gangster rapper guy who's trying to be like Eminem? Or am I the Christian guy who lives in a Christian home and does all the Christian things? Who am I? And you know what? I sat there and I just sobbed. I just broke down. Teenage boy just crying there. Everyone left the chapel. My leader came up to me, my cabin leader, and said, "What's going on? Can I chat with you?" And I said, I looked up at him and I remember saying, "I don't know who I am." And he's like, "What? Did you bonk your head? Like, what are you talking about?" And I said, "I don't know who I am," and I shared, I poured my heart out, and I'm going more detail another time, but God got a hold of my life because what happened was he opened up scriptures and he pointed to different passages, and he said, "Do you know who you are, Andrew? You're not a rapper. You're not just this. You're not just that. That's all part of you. Do you know who you are? You're a child of God. That's who you are. You are loved, and you're a child of God, and God's given you these gifts. He's given you these gifts to use for him and not for yourself. So stop using it for yourself and building up the world and start using it to build up the kingdom of God." And that's what I started to do. And God got a hold of my life. And since then, it's been ups and downs and all sorts of things. Even at times when I got older, pride came in my life with rap. And that became my idol and all sorts of things. But God is so good, and I began to actually live for him. And that's what this passage is about. That's what this one word I'm sharing with this morning from the book of James. So let's just read that, and I'll walk through a bit of what I feel like the Lord has laid in my heart this morning. So we're in James 1, and we're doing 19 to 25, and I'm reading from the NIV translation. "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the world and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Wonderful passage. I love the book of James. And you see that I've titled this sermon this morning, Mirror the Word, talking about this idea of what a mirror is. We're going to get to that in a minute. But a bit of background on the book of James. So it's probably written by Jesus' half-brother James. Most people believe that. Most commentators believe that. I believe that myself. And the thing about Jesus' brother, half-brother James, is throughout his ministry while he was on earth, he wasn't someone who really was strongly believing in what Jesus was doing. I know some of you have siblings here, obviously, and brothers and sisters. And so kind of James is always kind of not sure of what his brother was doing. But as he begins the book of James, it's interesting, the first bit here in chapter 1, James, it says, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, James, I'm the half-brother of Jesus. He is a servant. His life has been transformed as he's seen his half-brother do ministry. This book was written to the 12 Jewish tribes that were dispersed after the stoning of Stephen in Jerusalem. When Stephen was stoned, then the Christians all fled and were dispersed, called the diaspora, and the 12 tribes. And he's writing a letter to them. He's addressing many different issues in the book of James. Sometimes you look at the book of James, it seems like it's just jumping from one thing to another. And although he addresses many issues, like facing trials and the power of the tongue and the relationship between faith and works, the overall theme of James is the mark of maturity in the Christian life. Living out our faith as followers of Jesus. That is what James is about. And there is a common problem, even though it seems like it's all over the place at times. The common problem that ties all these issues together is spiritual immaturity. So he's writing to these Christians who've been spread out and probably fearing their life, and he's writing them a letter to encourage them that you can't just stay in one place anymore. You need to grow up. You need to grow up. You need to grow in maturity of Christ. So it's an encouragement to wake up to these Christians, to grow up in their faith and as followers of Jesus. Just like in my life, I had to wake up. I had to realize that it's not just saying a prayer. That's the first step. It's actually beginning to live it out. And so that's who he's writing to. That's the background of what's happening. And I love the book of James because it's practical. And as I share some things this morning, it's going to seem practical, but we need that to continue to grow and to go back to these practical things about the word. It is a book that still very much applies to us today as the church. One of the biggest issues in the church, I believe, is spiritual immaturity. So it's a very practical book that challenges us to examine our hearts. And we'll see today, as we're talking about being doers of the word and not just hearers. And that is the important thing. In this world, you know, walking this morning, we were coming back from Saskatchewan last night. We really confused our kids. We came here, went to a wedding in Saskatchewan. They're like, what's going on? Why are we going back to Saskatchewan? And we had a wonderful time. But coming back late last night and this morning, it was foggy. Like crazy fog, right? And it reminded me that this world is foggy. That the things that we hear in our world, the teachings, the things that are out there can cloud our minds just like I was clouded at that time and can bring in a fog, a spiritual fog in our life. But we need to remember the power of the Word of God. But the power of the Word of God doesn't just lie in us opening this up and sitting there under devotions and reading it and closing it and finishing our coffee and going about our day. That is not what the Word of God is supposed to be. The Word of God is made to be a book that we live out. And so that's what I want to talk about a bit this morning, of how do we approach the Word of God. So this was Kid Camp. We got slimed, I think we all know here. Good times. But I put this picture up here because as we begin to walk through this passage, James, he talks about some things which we could do a whole sermon on. I did a sermon a while back on anger, and I want to focus on different points. But he does say at the beginning, he does say, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So let me tell you, you can ask Pastor Josh here with the stuff, and Jen as well, the stuff that was covered on us walking out of here. We immediately went to Pastor Josh's house and tried to shower, and I think I'm still picking stuff out of clothes. And this just, I want to put this image up because it reminds me that this world is a place that can cover us in filth at times. It is a place where the opposing forces and the enemy can throw things away, and we sometimes cover ourselves in those things, don't we? You'll learn as we go along here, when I preach, I just want to be authentic. I just want to be real. And as I've shared already a bit of my story this morning, the reality is sometimes we get caught up in sin and in filth in our lives, and it covers us. And what James is saying is, get rid of it. Get rid of all moral filth. That idea of getting rid means like you almost like stripping off clothes, like we had to get rid of these dirty clothes. He says, get rid of those things, because the world's going to try to cover you in this, and the path of righteousness is not with the world. Get rid of moral filth. Get rid of those things. Because when we're getting rid of those things, what it's doing is kind of clearing the land so that when we approach the Word of God, we can actually be able to receive it. You remember the story, the parable of the sower with this different seeds in the landing, and the birds come and snatch it. And the Word is like a seed, and different conditions affect what's going to happen with the Word. We need to clear the soil. But there are things that will prevent the seed of God's word to grow in your life. And those are the things you need to get rid of. I needed to get rid of my hypocrisy and pride and those things that come in our lives which affect us in a negative way, the darkness that comes in. So this morning, we're talking about the word and how we're going to respond to the word. Because how many times as Christians do we know the Bible? We know verses. We know what it says, but the thing I want to talk about this morning is how do we approach it and how do we live it out? So three ways to respond to the word. Sorry, it's small print there. It says receive the word humbly is the first thing. When we come to the word of God, we need to come to it humbly. We need to come to it not saying, I want this to say what I want it to say, Lord. I'm going to open my Bible, and I want it to say this for me. And please speak to me, because that's what I want it to say. With arrogance and pride, like we're exalting ourselves. We need to receive the word humbly. And so what does that look like? Some practical things, as I said. There we go. Approach the word listening, not talking. As we approach this, like I said, if we come into it saying, I want this to say what I want it to say, this is God's words, not our words. This is God's words, so approach it listening. Lord, speak to me before you open your word. Lord, what do you want to show me this morning? Father, what do you want to bring alive through your word? Because we need to remember, the word of God is living. It is not a dead book, it is a living, active book. You can read a passage one time, come back to it the next day or another season of life, and it means something else for you because it is a living, active word. So don't approach the word listening, not talking. And as I said, don't approach it hoping it will say what you want it to say. And we do that all the time. I know I've done it before. God, I'm really hoping that this word that you're going to say to me is what I want to say. Many times it's not. Don't try to get around the word. Do the word. That is the overall thing I want to share this morning. Do the word. Because it really means nothing if all we do is sit here and read and memorize, and if we don't live it out, then what good is it? Don't try to get around the word. If you feel like the Lord's calling you to give to the poor and like, well, what's a way that I can maybe not have to do that, Father? No, like, and we do that at times. Do what it says, because the word thinks so much differently than the world. So this idea of a mirror, why we have a mirror here, all you people in the front row, I know you get to see this lovely mirror here. How many of you looked in a mirror this morning? Some of us, right? So the purpose of a mirror, I mean, is this not to sit there and to see how beautiful you are. I mean, sometimes that's what we think, right? But the purpose of a mirror is to reflect. The purpose of a mirror, why we have mirrors, is to look into a mirror and see what are the things that we need to fix. What are some blemishes? What's my hair out of place or my shirt collar, whatever? That's the point of having mirrors, is to look into that. And James uses this illustration, and honestly, it's kind of it's silly illustration that he's using, because what he's saying is this, when he's talking in the verses there about the mirror. When a man looks, is like a man who looks in his mirror, in the face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and forgets what he looks like. Here's what James is saying with that. It's like looking in a mirror. If you're looking in this mirror and you see this, like some lettuce in your teeth or something stuck in your hair. I know we were just dressing our kids for this wedding we were just in because they were in it. And so you're fixing the hair, you're doing everything. It's like seeing something in the mirror that needs to be corrected and then walking away from it and not changing anything, even though you know that you should change something, because the mirror showed you. And why I called this message Mirror the Word is because the word is like a mirror. When we open this up and we look into it, it reflects, it shows us God showing us. If we approach it humbly and say, Lord, speak to us, and the Lord speaks to us, and we don't change what he's telling us to change, then we're not doing it right. We need to do what he's calling us to do. We need to look at the word as a mirror, and it's going to show us our imperfections. How many times have you opened the word and you're convicted, or you remember something or some sin in your life, whatever it may be? They reflect reality. Self-deception is the worst kind of deception. So we gather together and we talk about the Bible and we preach the word and we even leave this place, and I know I've done it myself, saying, that was a good word. That was a good word this morning that Pastor Brent spoke, or Pastor Andrew, or Pastor Josh, or whoever. That was a really good word. And we leave these doors after coffee and visiting a bit, and we go home and we have lunch, and then we forget. And we don't live out what we're called to do. And it happens all the time. We've turned it into an art form in Christianity. And this is why I want this to be my one word, because as a pastor, it's easy as well, like I said, to be authentic, to preach a lot of things in here and prepare sermons and preach it and say, well, that's done, on to the next one, and not live out what it's calling us to do. We need to live out what this word is calling us to do. Because what happens when we do that, God can work in our life. The word is implanted in us already. The word is within us already. We need to just be obeying it. Because there is obedience in its blessing. James says here about the law of liberty, that the law of liberty sets us free. And that seems kind of an oxymoron, doesn't it? When normally we think of laws, we think of restrictive. We think of like that's stopping us from doing something. But he says the law of liberty sets us free. What that means is the words of Jesus, we have freedom because the words in this book. We have freedom in Jesus to be followers of Jesus, to live it out. There's freedom and blessing and joy in simply obeying and doing God's words. His commandments are not burdensome. And sometimes we may feel like that. But blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And so our challenge here is, as a part of my role here as associate pastor, is going to be overseeing small groups, for example. Small groups are a wonderful thing to get involved in, because you're going to gather together in small groups studying the word of God. But if those small groups, once again, just get together and do a lot of good studying and memorizing, but not doing then once again, we're doing it wrong. And so I'm excited to see small groups get together and gather around the Word and build each other up and share what's going on in your lives. But then what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves from this passage today. And with youth group as well. Youth groups, sometimes I've gone through many youth courses and you hear about attractional ministry, and Pastor Josh was going to talk, where you have to put on a bunch of things to get people in, and you want to get unchurched kids in here because it's attractional. And what I've seen already from the ministry here of the youth group is it's not that. It's the Word of God. I heard that there was a few, how many baptisms were from the youth? About 9 baptisms, which shows that ministry is not just hearing the Word of God, not doing it. Things are happening in the youth ministry and young adults where God is working and things are happening. And I'm excited to be a part of this. I'm so excited to be a part of this church that is doing many things we need to keep doing. Because there's blessing. The Lord blesses those who hear the Word and do the Word. And so as I said, in my own life, when I came to that realization that this is more about doing than just hearing, everything changed. This is a phrase you could say, and some of you may already do this, and I don't want to sound condemning this morning at all, like we're not coming to our Word obeying, because I know many of us are, but we struggle at times as Christians. Different seasons of our life where we struggle to do the Word. But as you approach the Word, say, Lord, speak to me through your Word. Before you even open the Word, Lord, speak to me through your Word as you approach it. That's been a wonderful prayer that I've began to use as I approach the Word. And God speaks, amen? God speaks through his Word when you approach it. He doesn't want to keep wisdom from you. He doesn't want to keep truth from you. He's a God of love who wants to, he leads us as a shepherd as we walk along. The second point is remember the Word constantly. Gaze deeply on the Word. Absorb the Word. Memorize the Word. We saw that at kid camp. Don't just read the words quickly and say, I'm done my devotions. Gaze deeply at it. Spend time on it like childlike wonder. Absorb it. Read it. Reread it. Memorize it. My dad is a big scripture memory guy. He has flashcards on him at all times of scriptures he's memorizing. I call him up for help on sermons and just in general, and he will pull up scripture like this, scripture after scripture after scripture, and it challenges me. And I know some of you here are probably the same way. Keep doing that. Memorize the Word of God, especially for students, as temptations come, as those things come, and you're going to face the world in a few days here, and it's different than this place. When you memorize the Word, it will come to life in those situations and help you. Remember the Word constantly. This is a picture of Hannah, our second youngest daughter, and I took this picture when she obviously was littler, I think like 2 or something like that, and I just caught this picture of her just stooping down here looking at this flower. And the reason why I want to put this image up, because it shows how we should approach the Word. Not just open it up and saying, okay, yep, that's my devotions for today, and that's what's on my list, check. Sit down with it. Sit down with it. Stoop. Spend time. Absorb. Soak in it. And this image that came to my mind. Because the Word is a beautiful thing. And the world hates the Word. More reason why we need to stand on the promises, as we sang this morning, of what's all coming at us as Christians. And the most important thing that I think is resounding in the message this morning for you, I hope, is obey the Word wholeheartedly. The Word evokes action. This is not a spectator sport to be a Christian. It's easy to come in here and sit here and be a spectator and not be involved in ministry and listen to the good Word and do nothing. That's not what the Christian life is about. If you think it is, it's not. That's not at all what Jesus preached. Jesus didn't preach, come sit down in a chair, listen and leave. He said, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him do. If you're not going to hear, which you're not going to do it, then don't listen, because you're not listening anyways. You know, it's like Kelly was at kid camp, and she would say, mouth closed, ears open, right? So kids, we need to come with our ears open. Don't just read it and hear it. Do what it says. The words of truth of Christ, they set us free. The Lord blesses those who do. That's how this passage ends. He blesses us in many different ways when we are coming to his word and actually living it out. In Gibbons, if we become a community and continue to be a community that is known for doing and not just talking, we need to walk our talk everywhere we go. The post office, the schools, the library, wherever we go in this community, so that people know, hey, those people at Sturgeon Alliance Church, they don't just listen to the word of God and they don't just preach it and put it in your face. They actually live it out. Imagine if we began to keep living out what these words say, what would happen in our community? People would start coming in here and saying, what's going on? Well, I saw that already at kid camp. There's now people who have heard what's happening here, seen what's happening here. And their kids were loved on, let me tell you, they were loved on deeply, went home and shared about what happened. You better believe those parents are thinking as well on what is happening here. We need to be living it out. And the Lord blesses those who do. So in closing here, remember to receive it humbly. When you open your word tomorrow or today still, receive it humbly. Don't come to it with arrogance, wanting to say what you want it to say. Focus on it. Take time in it. Don't just rush through it because it's on your to-do list as a Christian. This should never be a to-do list because this is just what we do as Christians. This is the living word of God that we need to be living out. And remember it through memorization, through talking to others, remembering what it says in situations, and living it out. This is what James is writing to these Christians that were dispersed everywhere. Live it out. Live it out. I know I gave you guys when you came in, you got two sticky notes here. We're going to get to that in a moment here. And what that is this. I figured we're talking about a passage that's about action. So we need to do something. I felt like it wasn't right if I just said, we just sent you out and said, okay, well, good luck. I want the two sticky notes are this. To write down something that you are willing to obey from the word of God. You're willing to obey it, but you haven't been obeying it. And this is where the mirror comes in. This is where the reflection comes. To take some time and say, what are the things in my life that I know the word says and that I should be doing, but I'm not? So on the one sticky note, I want you to write down whatever that is. We're going to have a song here at the closing song. You could write it down already if you want. And take some time and think about that. This is hard. We're coming near the end of summer with all sorts of activity and being gone. And as Pastor Brent said and Pastor Josh, things are getting going here. And I hope this word encourages you to think, okay, have I been struggling with devotions? Have I been angry a lot, like this passage talks about as well? I haven't been quick to listen. I've been losing my temper or not giving as I should, whatever it may be. You, between you and God, write down something that you feel you're willing to obey, but you haven't been. You need to begin obeying from the word of God. And then the second sticky note is, what are you going to do about it? What's a step that you're going to begin to do to obey what you know the Lord's calling you to do? So I hope that makes sense. The first one, write down something you're willing to obey, but you feel the Lord wants you to keep you actually doing because you haven't been. And the second one's to write down, what's a step you can do? Well, if it's devotions, are you going to start devotions tomorrow at a certain time if you've fallen off all summer? Whatever that may be. And if you want, you could stick them on your mirror at home as a reminder of the mirror, because we need to mirror the word of God. We are reflecting as these places we go. We are mirroring what this says, imitating, living it out, what it says. And as we've talked about this morning, you know, rap music is something that I've used in ministry, and I would love to sit down with anyone. I know you've heard me rap a few times already. If you ever have questions about what rap ministry looks like, or you don't like rap music and you don't understand it, please come talk to me, because I understand it's not for everyone. I'm not trying to make everyone a rap fan. We're trying to make Jesus famous, not Andrew, not me. I've had interviews on TV where they've asked me, when do you think you've made it, Andrew? I don't want to make it. I want to make Jesus known through my music. So I want to close my portion here of the sermon with a song. Last week, I've done some freestyle. I'll get the mic here from Josh. I did some freestyle, which is off the top of my head, but I write songs as well. I have an album, and I love sitting down and taking time to seek the Lord and actually sit and write. It's way different than freestyling. And so the song I'm doing this morning for you guys, I've performed it, I think, once. So I felt the Lord wanted me to do the song, so we're going to do it. And it's called Get Alone. And why it's good for this morning is because I wanted to write a song that's about the struggle of spending time in the Word and with God. Because I know as a father of four and a pastor and rapper and many other things, and you all have many things in your life, time with God falls to the wayside sometimes. Maybe that's something you're writing down and you're feeling. I wanted to write a song about the reality of what sometimes that struggle is like. We need to get alone. Technology. I talk in the song a lot about technology. Getting in the way of the Word of God and time with God. So it's a very authentic song, sharing from my heart the struggle. We're going to have the words on the screen because those of you, like I said, who may not like rap or the beat or the volume, you can actually see the words. I wanted to have the words up for you. This song's called Get Alone.
AnnoDominiNation.com.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. This morning, we want to make you famous in all things, Lord. Yeah. I need to get alone. Seek you when you alone. Turn off these screens. Put down this phone. Bow down. You can hear my heart's groan. Shut off the world. Turn my eyes up to your throne. Need to get alone. Seek you when you alone. Turn off these screens. Put down the phone. Bow down. You can hear my heart groan. Shut off the world. In this world that we're living in, we get so distracted, begin to love things we're simply attracted to. Life sucked out of us, mentally extracted, actors who acted, real joy, we lacked it. Go to movies and music to fill our souls, forget to get remote, controlled by remote controls. It's so easy to forget about Christ's sacrifice. Before you know it, another day is gone, turning out the lights. It's a dark life that needs fresh sight. To freaking make time and God priority in my life. Rather spend time with my video games, kids and wife. Before prostrate, open the book of life. One side of prayer life, all I do is ask of him. Instead of being silent and laying to bask in him, push away the spirit's voice, speak deep from within. Try to fight my own sin from a strength within. I need to get alone, seek you when you alone. Turn off these screens, put down this phone. Bow down, you can hear my heart's groan. Shut off the world, turn my eyes up to your throne. Need to get alone, seek you and you alone. Turn off these screens, put down this phone. Bow down, you can hear my heart's groan. Shut off the world. Noise of society leaves me so drained. War, my heart is stressed, it leaves me so strained. I'm ready to fall and faint, collapse in pain. Heavy burdens crushing me like some rocks and chains. I need to get away, find a secret place. Turn off the world, find that peaceful space. Lay in his arms, held tight within his embrace. Let myself down and give the Lord all of the praise. I'm looking at my calendar, it's solidly booked. Last thing I want to do is read another book. Deep down I know I need the solid truth from his book. Need to take time instead of a quick look. I find myself speed reading words of life. I might as well put delete words in my sight. If I'm skimming the word, how can they affect my life? Time to focus up, drink up the words of life. I need to get alone, seek you and you alone. Turn off these screens, put down this phone. Bow down, you can hear my heart's groan. Shut off the world, turn my eyes up to your throne. Need to get alone, seek you and you alone. Turn off these screens, put down this phone. Bow down, you can hear my heart's groan. Shut off the world. Yeah. Yeah. Lord, sometimes I feel like I don't know where to go. I look at your word and I can't live it out, yo. It's so hard, sometimes it's so frustrated. I know that you have made me a new creation, but I'd put this and this and this above you. I think I'm following, but then I lose view of you. I need to open up the word, not play games. James 1:19, book of James, tells me that I need to live what I do. And God's so amazing what I do. I need to spend time praying, writing, reading, bleak consumeristic feasting, fast from the eating. Thank God for the sound of my heart beating. God's so amazing, we'll start doing and not reading. Need to get alone, seek you and you alone. Turn off these screens, put down the phone, need to bow down, hear my heart groan, shut off the world, turn my eyes up to your throne. I need to get alone, seek you and you alone, turn off these screens, put down the phone, bow down, you can hear my heart groan, shut off the world, turn my eyes up to your throne. Thank you. So that is the challenge, to not only read this word, to not only proclaim you're a Christian with words, but to actually live it out, to live it out in everything we do so that others come to know Jesus, because that's what it's about, making Jesus famous. Making Jesus famous means spreading him everywhere, when I think of that. Letting everyone know that we are proud, we are boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus. We are saved, and we are people who reflect the word of God and what Jesus tells us to do. Amen. I think we're going to have another song here. And this is a moment where you can write down what the Lord's laying on your heart. If you need to talk to someone after, we have the prayer room, or come to talk to any of us, pastors, or anyone here you feel comfortable with. Well, let's just listen to these words. The song Word of God Speak is going to close us off well with what the Lord wants to speak to us. So, amen.
Thank you. Father, we are sorry for the times where we come into the Word and we want to speak. Help us to listen. Help us to humbly accept the Word in our lives and be doers of the Word. I pray, Lord, that your fame would spread like wildfire through in and through us in this church and this community. Thank you for that reminder once again this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.